Good morning. Welcome to AM Gap for this week. We're excited that you're watching. That tells me you are desiring wisdom, seeking after it, and for that I'm really thankful. Today, my lesson may be one of the most practical in some ways, but I also would believe that it may be the most challenging of all the things you're talking about, the nuggets of wisdom that you need to hear and respond to in order for you to become wise. So this is week 3 in the Acquiring Wisdom series. And today we're talking about hearing God through your parents. That is something that God says a number of places throughout Proverbs. And honestly, that is something that I think our culture really challenges. So let's dive into this. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon," notice, "the son of David, king of Israel." He was a son. And he was a king. So this is coming from his heart. "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." That's his goal. That's what Proverbs is all about. That you might know, actually get wisdom and instruction, perceiving, being able to like catch and get the words of understanding. And think of these words, even relating to what's going on in our country right now, to receive instruction about wisdom, how to act and live. Justice, we're really looking at that right now in America. Judgment and equality or equity, you need wisdom to do that. And so God says, "That is my desire to give it to you." And he gives prudence, and prudence means the pre-thought and planning, even to those who are simple, that don't know anything. His goal is to let you take on wisdom. To the young man or woman, knowledge and discretion. So this is a book for you. That is his goal with it. And then he goes on and says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning." So notice, if you're wise, that puts you in a place where you can actually hear and engage and then increase in learning. "A man of understanding will attain or gain wise counsel." And that's awesome, meaning you are going to get counsel and wisdom from even others. "To understand a proverb," because you'll need this wisdom to do that. "An enigma," I looked it up. It means something that's hard to understand. So you need wisdom to understand hard things. "The words of the wise," when wise people speak. Ravi Zacharias, one of my heroes. When I would listen to him, I'd have to actually listen more than once because it was a lot. And I'm like, I want to get it. But the words of the wise and their riddles, when they say things. When Jesus says parables, things like that. God says you will need wisdom to go there. But notice, he then kind of gives us a bottom line. So he started out saying this is the goal of the book. And then he described this is the process. You know, hearing to increase in learning. Attaining to, so that you can unpack proverbs and riddles and the words of the wise. And then he says this in verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Notice, he's not saying it's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of just having knowledge. "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." We're going to come back to this because that's a crazy statement. Because why would anyone despise wisdom? Wouldn't you want it? Wouldn't everybody want it? No, fools don't want it. "The fear of the Lord, though, is the beginning." That's where you even start knowledge that ultimately will lead you to understanding wisdom. If you go to chapter 1, verse 29, 30, and 32, this is what it says. And helps us kind of understand. It says, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil." So the question of why would anyone despise wisdom, instruction? It's because they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Why would anyone hate knowledge? Well, it says it begins with the fact that they do not fear God. They don't respect him, and they don't accept. They reject his rebuke. Anything he's trying to do, it's like, "God, I'm God. I'm not going to let you in." Because they know everything. And if they had to listen, they'd have to admit humbly that, "I don't know everything." But they literally think they do know everything, and they can tell you what's up on everything. Because they cannot humble themselves and admit they need help from others. Instead, he says in the passage here, they're always turning away. There's so many things that are drawing their heart away from God. So in a sense, they don't want to hear God because God, they know God will probably say no. So they want what their heart wants and they're going to follow it. They're trying to find life outside of God's commands. Then it says the complacency. And that means I'm complacent. I looked up the definition of that. It says marked by self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. They're complacent. They should be taking note. They should be responding. They should be trying to find wisdom, but they're like, hey, it's all cool. Because they're just aware of themselves. They're not aware of anything else going on around them. So this is what I want you to understand. The first test for you in wisdom is the question whether you're going to be a fool or you're going to choose to be wise. A fool will never grow in wisdom. And unfortunately, I feel like for much of my life growing up, I was a fool. And so when I started growing as a believer, I was reading Proverbs and I was just amazed how many times the fool, the description there was who I was. I was like, God, help me. I don't want to be a fool anymore. So the question to you is, how badly do you really want wisdom? Is it something you'd like or is it something you're going to passionately pursue like we looked at in week one? Are you willing to humble yourself? Are you willing to submit to God and those he's put in authority? Are you willing then to hear, even beyond what all the thoughts you have and all the evidence you've acquired, are you willing to hear and really think through what others are saying to you? This is where he will test you. But this in the family, and this is where you will gain some of your most practical wisdom is within your family from your parents. Notice then, in verse 8 and 9, he says this, okay, so he's just explained why he wrote Proverbs and what it means to get wisdom. So he's now rolling into, right after that, he says this, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So what does that mean? It means that hearing is really a big deal. We so often hear, but it kind of goes right out the other ear. And it's like, yeah, right. Right. But hearing is not that. Hearing is actually stopping, focusing, and taking in what is being said. And maybe even responding to go, I don't understand that. But hearing is the big deal. You can actually hear without hearing. And so you don't want to do that. So he says, a son's need to not forsake, to hear his instruction of his father and not forsake, not to like release or let go the instruction, the laws of your mother. And then it goes on to say what happens because of that. If you do take on the wisdom of your parents, it says there'll be a graceful ornament. That's actually a victor's crown. He's trying to say, if you take on wisdom, you will win. You will achieve. You'll do the things you want to. And the chains there are actually translated pendants and other things, but basically it's like a victor's prize. You're standing on first place. Why? Because you listened to the person who's giving you the most counsel throughout all of your life. No, they're not perfect. No, not everything they says is accurate. And matter of fact, sometimes you can even learn through their bad example. But God says, will you become wise? This is what much of the world believes. You know, the problem that our parents, you know, are often wrong, irrational, overbearing, unreasonable, old-fashioned, clueless to what's up. They're not tracking all the trends. They can't go technology-wise with you all over the place. This is also, obviously, throughout all of history. You know, as people have grown up in the, rite of passage, the becoming of an adult, there is that struggle. Like, you know, you're an emerging adult, so when do you get to make decisions and when does your thoughts matter? Well, that's really important in high school because that's where the transition is most under scrutiny, and that's where actually your learning is the most, the deepest, if you're taking note. You could, as a believer, also reject this if you said, well, you know, my parents aren't Christians. You know, I know what the truth is. I don't need to listen to them, and I'll address that later. But this generation, you know, from the 60s forward, it seems, has really discounted parents. It's amazing to me. If you look at almost every TV show, every movie, I dare you to think of one where there's actually a positive role model for parents. They always portray, you know, dads and moms as clueless and stupid, and, you know, you just got to work around them, you know. And that's really what a lot of people think. Interestingly enough, I did think about that once, and I thought, you know, there is a movie. It's actually The Incredibles. If you think about it, you know, Bob, great name. Bob was a good dad. Didn't always respond as fast as he should. And Elastigirl, she was keeping the family together. Let's check that one out. But it is funny. Ask your parents if they remember the reruns on these two shows. Father Knows Best. It's in black and white, so you know it's old. But it's actually cool. They look through different family situations, and they show mom and dad aren't perfect. But at the end, their children eventually come around and go, we hear you, we respond to you, we respect you. Same thing with Leave It to Beaver. I loved watching Leave It to Beaver growing up. The Beave was the guy, you know, and he was always getting in trouble, always doing stupid things. And Wally, his big brother, was a good counselor to him most of the time. But by the end of the show, you know, Ward, you know, is sitting down with Beaver and they're talking through things. And he goes, you know what, Dad, you're right. Why? Because that's the way we should approach our parents. And knowing, yeah, they're not perfect. We're not perfect. But they do have wisdom, whether it's even by years or even if they are believers or just by the experiences they've had. So here's some things that you need to understand about hearing wisdom through your parents. The reality is this resistance all started way back with Adam and Eve. Okay, they were the first ones. Think about this. They didn't have a sin nature. They did have a father. The father gave them one rule. So it wasn't hard to remember. But even with one rule and no sin nature, what did they do? Well, they got caught up in what the world system, the serpent, okay, what he told them challenged their thinking about. Well, you know, God's holding out on you. You know, and you're smarter than that. He's afraid you're going to become God. He's holding you back. Same lies as he gives us today. Are you realizing that? And they fell for that. And the crazy thing is, that is where our sin nature started. That's why when we're born, we are already predisposed to rebel, to reject. That's what our sinful heart is. And God says, if you're going to be wise, you're going to realize you have to make some choices. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But your sin nature actually generates the pride and rebellion in our hearts. And we are programmed to be fools, to not fear God and not listen to our parents. So to change that, how do you start hearing wisdom from your parents? Here's some things that I want you to think about. That was Fathers Know Best. That's Leave It to Beaver. If you've never seen them, great guys. So, got to keep up. Here's five things. Number one, choose to humble yourself and submit to the fear of the Lord. Respect to the point of obedience for God, and then realize He has put your parents in a position for you. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. And He really does want you to respond to them. Humble yourself and submit to the fear of the Lord. Secondly, choose to value wisdom above your comfort, above your pleasure, above approval from others, and pursue it with a passion. If you don't value it, you will never pursue it. And that's why God says, treat it like hidden treasure. Go after it that way. Third is listen. Okay? Choose to listen to hear God and do what He helps you understand. He wants you to obey. And that can, we're going to look at the end, just at some very simple things. You're like, oh yeah, well that's not wisdom. And actually, there's a lot of wisdom that just comes by as your parents talking to you. There's things embedded in that. If you're listening for wisdom, it's there. And then lastly, and this is really key, or number four, this is really key. You need to choose to feed on the truth. Many, I think, in high school are like, just go with the thought of like, I want so much to be in the Word, but I never get there. Well, you know, we always do what we want to do. No guilt. But the reality is if you chose to say, God, I want to be in your Word every day, I think it's that important. And I'm going to choose to feed on it in a significant way. Pick the time, pick the place, pick what you're going to read, and tell somebody else you want them praying for you to do it. And you can begin to build that habit and let God start putting deposits. And that wisdom will help you even to hear through your parents. Then lastly, hear and apply the wisdom of Proverbs 6, verse 20 to 24, which says this. Kind of goes through the same thing, but it adds a couple things. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Take that wisdom and wrap it around your heart and go, don't forget this. This is really important. Tie them around your neck. Put them close to you, you know, like the things we always don't want to lose, keys and other things. Keep it right here because you want to remember it. When you roam, they'll lead you no matter where you go. That wisdom is going to be what's guiding you. When you sleep, they will keep you. What does that mean? It means you can actually sleep. You're not troubled. You're not all uptight because you've taken the wisdom of God and you've released things to Almighty God and you can sleep. When you awake and you're starting a new day, they will speak to you. They're the ones who will speak words of truth into your life, like, this is the day the Lord has made. His mercy is new with you this morning. God has a plan for your life. Look expectantly today to see where God is and where he's at work. And then it says, for the commandment is a lamp. Okay, it's a lamp. I think it's more the lamp, like it also says, it's a lamp to your feet. They used to carry a little lantern. They didn't have flashlights, so they carried a little lamp, and it would show them the next step. And that's what wisdom is. It helps you see the next step. God doesn't always give us the whole plan or understand everything, but he does give us the next step. And the law is a light. It unlocks things. It helps you see and understand things. Reproofs of instruction, meaning when God says, wrong choice. And when you do something wrong and something happens, you're like, oh, that's so embarrassing. That's so hard. God says, that's the way of life. We learn by failing as much as we get nuggets of wisdom. We learn when we blow it and we don't do it. And God says, all right, that is a way that you can continue to learn. And then the application is to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. In other words, things are going to start coming at you. And so if you have wisdom, it'll help you know how to hear it, respond to it, flee from it versus entertain it, minimize it, and ultimately crash and burn because of it. God says, that is not where I want you to go. So I just want to touch base. Notice the action words, observe, okay? Observe. Do you know what the commandments of your Heavenly Father are? Do you know what your own Father's commandments would be? Do not forsake. Don't push them off for any reason. Let them be the closest to you. So I want to give you two examples to consider. If you're going to be wise, here's two opportunities you will have. One, I look at Moses. I was actually reading this a little while ago, and it just dawned on me, wow, this is really interesting how this fits what we're talking about. So Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court. He had every privilege. He was like you in this area. A lot of resources. Everything took a lot for granted. And then God, through the circumstances, pulled him out into the wilderness. Well, he's in the wilderness 40 years. That's a long time. But God had a lot of character development and other things he had designed for him. If he was going to then turn around and lead a million Jews across a desert, that's an advanced degree in leadership. So it took him a while. But then after he went and God allowed them to be released and they're out in the wilderness, it's interesting here in Exodus 18:24, it talks about how his father-in-law came and visited. So it's not even his father, it's his father-in-law. And the reality was he watched, Moses told him everything that had happened. And I think he was amazed. And then he saw and observed what he was doing right then. And it says in that passage, Moses would get up really early to hear all the complaints of the people and give wisdom. He was basically the only judge around. He was the only one kind of helping sort things out. And he would do that through the end of the day, way late. And he did that every day because he couldn't think of any other way to do it. So his father-in-law came to him and said, that's not really wise. You need to set up, and this tells you how many people there are, set up leaders over 1,000. Set up leaders over 100, over 50, and over 10. An organizational structure that kind of, if you think about it, that's where our state government is, and whatnot. You divide out so that people will have access, but you don't have to handle all the hardest. The hardest cases will end up back to you, but you'll have other people supporting you. You'll use other people's gifts. That was wisdom. But if you stop and think about it, Moses could have thought, I'm more than 80 years old. Like, I know you're my father-in-law and everything, but I've seen a thing or two, I've been around the block. But that would have been an issue of pride for him to go, I won't listen to you because, of who I am. He could have said, I'm the man of God. God chose me. It's just the way things go, And that would have maybe been an issue of his identity, that he thinks, I'm so, I'm the God guy. I'm the anointed. I won't listen to you. Or he could have said, I've been doing this Redeemer thing a long time, and I've really got this thing going. And that could just really reflect on whether Moses was teachable or not. So those are all the things that we face, our pride, our identity, and teachability. But the cool thing is what his father-in-law told him was wisdom. He heard it. He did it. and it blessed him. Think about how different his life was when he stopped being, you know, day early to late, just the cares of all the people. He was being torn down. So thankfully for him and for the people, he heard that wisdom. Otherwise, he would not have probably finished, because that would have overwhelmed him. And the point is, we all have blind spots. You know, you have them in your car where you look to the side and you don't see anything. You look in your mirror, you don't see anything. But there's this little bit of space between your mirror and what you see directly, called a blind spot, that if you don't turn all the way around, or if you don't have one of those things on your side of your mirror that lights up and says something's there, you might swerve and hit it. You have blind spots. I have blind spots. That's why we need friends, parents, coaches to tell us what they see, or we'll just continue to mess up the way we've messed up. So second thing I want to share as an example is from my life. I grew up in Herndon. My dad was a doctor. He was a general practitioner, so that's, you know, the first place you'd typically go. But back in that day, I would say that the general rule was that children are better seen but not heard. Like, you know, it's okay that you're around, but we're not going to really engage you or do a lot with you. My dad was a good man, but he was very tough on me, especially as the son, and my sisters. He would say things that were just not good, not thinking. And he was not necessarily much of an encourager to me. He would point out where I failed a ton. And so thankfully, my mom was a way over encourager, and so that helped balance a lot of things out. But in his gruff way, I knew he cared about me. Okay. So when I became a believer, I said, God, I really want all my family to come to know you. Well, shortly after I became a believer, my dad left home for another woman. So I started hating my dad. I was like, you jerk, you know, watching my mom just melt in the rejection. It's so hard. But God started showing me over time, when I said things to my dad, he would convict me, and he said, okay, so all the things I forgave you for, like, you can't forgive your dad? And I'm like, huh, that's a good point. I guess I should forgive him like you forgave me, right? And I did, and he actually brought me to a point of having compassion on my dad. And I was like, God, I don't care. I would rather my dad be with me no matter what he's done. And Lord, I forgive him, help him forgive himself. And here's the crazy thing. Right in that transition, you know, this happened right around him leaving. It was right around me going to college. So I was at the crux of trying to figure out where I was going to go. And so I had to make a decision. I really wanted to go to Bible college, but I'd also applied to five, you know, regular colleges and gotten in all of them. And so I asked him about direction, and he said, I want you to go to a real college. Well, I could have taken offense and said, you know, well, he doesn't know Jesus, and, you know, I don't expect him to understand, and I'm just going to do it anyway. Well, thankfully, the Lord had given me a little nugget of wisdom, and I would pass it on to you. Proverbs 21:1 says, basically, God can turn the heart of a king whatever way he wants to, just like he turns the water, you know, in the desert. He directs it. And so I knew that, okay, God, if you want me to go to Bible college, my dad would be like, okay, I don't understand it, but you can. When he said no, I didn't. I knew that I was going to hear him, and God was going to lead me through it. And honestly, those next 2 years at William & Mary were the best training I ever had in ministry. I'm so thankful I didn't rebel and just do my own thing. And the coolest thing was, after 2 years, my dad, without me saying anything, came back to me and said, hey, if you want to go to Bible college, you can go now. I'm like, I think it's time to go to Bible college. And that's where I met my wife, Lisa, and you know the rest of the story. So I'm so thankful that I didn't just push back and discount, but that I actually heard God, and I feel like he has mightily directed me through that. So the wisdom of God, if you think about it, there is wisdom in every aspect of life, every facet of this world. Gravity is a part of God's wisdom. The rain cycle, part of God's wisdom. As we unpack parents, I want you to realize a couple things related to the wisdom within the family and parents. Okay, number one, God established the family to be the place where you would learn your identity in him, where you'd learn what unconditional love looks like, where you would have a safe place to grow up and gain a proper worldview, and in that process, be able to grow in wisdom. That's his plan. That's the system. And if you think about it, you know, people have pushed back against the family forever, redesigning it, reformatting it, rejecting it. It is still the foundation of our society, really, and of our personal lives. But I do want to note this when we're talking about this, that obviously there are bad parents. There are evil parents. When you read, you know, it just grieves me when I hear of a mom who drowns her children. And typically there's other major factors going on there. That is not the heart of a mother. That is normal. And there is abuse. And God does not condone abuse of any kind. So, and God has set up systems actually to be able to see that. And, you know, even for our government to intervene, to say, no, you can't do that, put restrictions on that. But we all have to realize we are all affected by the same sickness called sin. And we are all bad in many aspects, and we all fail. So there are bad families that sometimes people need to be rescued from, but I think that is not what most of you guys are facing. The second thing is the family is where you're supposed to learn two key things. Number one, you're supposed to learn in the family what no means, okay? God's goal in raising you is ultimately to bring you through a process which starts with your parents basically asking you to hear a no and respond to it. I know today there's a lot of disagreement on discipline, but I don't think God is, you know, double-minded on it. He says in Proverbs 13, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I think the issue is God is against disciplining in anger or abuse or just, you know, overwhelming children. When my children, you know, came to the point where they were making their own choices and willfully rejected what was clear, we took the opportunity to help them understand, you know, what is it you did wrong? And then the consequence. But then there was the restoration. And that was some of the sweetest times with my kids. And they knew they were loved. They knew what they did was wrong. But they also began to understand what the gospel is. That we, you know, thankfully there's a way to deal with our junk. And, you know, we would forgive them and hug them and move forward. And it was interesting that, you know, my youngest, you know, he struggled a lot of different ways. But, you know, when he was in college, he said, you know, I think some of my friends, I don't think their parents really ever helped them learn no. And that's, it's really painful to watch. And it's really true. So you need to hear no through your parents so that you can ultimately then tell yourself no, so that you can then, when God says no, go, all right, I'll yield to that. To me, actually, you know, learning this helped me in wrestling, because my body screamed, stop, quit, you know, this is too hard. And I said, no. I was able to tell myself, no, shut up, keep going. And that was a huge blessing to me. So the second thing you need to learn within the family is what submission means. Many students have a goal without thinking it, but their goal is to fix their parents. You know, like, you know, my parents, they're well-meaning, but they're just lost. And I'm going to so help them. And typically that comes down into, I will manipulate them to get what I want. You know, I'll slam the door and run away. I'll play the sulking child. You know, I will use their words against them, or flat out, you know, I'll just do what I want and see what happens. And that never goes anywhere. And that never changes anybody. But learning and choosing to submit to your parents is crucial. It reflects our submission to God, because God says they're just an extension of Him. So if we're rejecting them, we're rejecting Him, and we got to take that seriously. But it also will help determine what kind of leader you're going to be. If you can't submit to your parents, why should anyone ever submit to you? And you might be, great, I don't want to be a leader. But you will lead. At some point in a job, or maybe in a family, you're going to be called to lead. And if you don't learn submission, when we learn submission, we begin to understand what's too hard. Like, yeah, that's the line. Don't, you know, don't go there. But then we also realize that going, you know, having no rules at all, well, that's not good. I need to love and I need to lead in a right way. And that's part of how you get there. But God ultimately wants to change your heart. He wants you to learn to trust Him, even with your flawed parents, believe it or not. Because it's through their flaws sometimes, you know, that you have to actually be humble. You actually have to respond differently. You actually have to choose to obey God. And this is where the truth comes in to say, there's times when with your parent who's your authority or your government as your authority, you need to do it as unto the Lord. Meaning, I'm obeying God and I'm trusting Him with my parents. Because I know they're not perfect, but I know He is. And He'll bring about in me what needs to be. And I've seen some students really get that. and seeing them grow really fast. And the second thing that happens, if you are fully obedient, going, if you say it, I'll do it, you know, outside of obviously wicked things, they'll start realizing, I better watch what I tell them, you know? And honestly, that's where you may start changing your parents. As they see your obedience, the Holy Spirit will convict them of their need to lead in a righteous and good way. So consider that. A third thing is your parents are unique in your life. Their view of your life starts with diapers to now. Nobody else has that view. That is really important. They understand things about you that you don't because you really weren't taking notes for the first 5 years. You were just figuring life out. And so you may think they just showed up and they have no brain, but they actually have watched you. And if you want to know where your tendencies are and where your weaknesses are, if you have a trusting relationship with them, they could tell you. And that's key. Their commitment to you, to raise you, most of your parents have sacrificed for you. They've not done things or restricted themselves so that you can have. That's amazing. And I think you just take it for granted. Like, yeah, they clothe me. They feed me. They take me here. They let me play that sport. And you don't realize money doesn't, you know, fall out of the sky. They are using the resources and they're saying, I'm going to choose to bless my child. Here's a key one. Their motives. If they're good parents, okay, you know, pushing aside bad parents. If they're normal, good parents, they want the best for you. They're not trying to get anything from you. But you know, with your friends, your coaches, your teachers, they could have a lot of different agendas. But with your parents, just the fact that you're their son or daughter, that's all that really matters. That's huge. I can trust what my parents say more than I can trust what my friends say. But we do the opposite. We go, I'm really going to listen to my friends. They're so smart. My parents are idiots. I think you got to rethink that one. And they're the ones, and this is really key too, that your friends last for a time, but your parents are there for you throughout your life. They're with you in thick and thin. They're the one you can always come back to. I know with my children, though they're grown, there's still ways that we engage them and help them and assist them in really practical ways. You need and want that relationship to be good and to be strong. And I need you to realize Malachi 4 says he is at work all the time in this process of turning your father's heart to you. And he's trying to turn your heart to your father. And I would challenge you, you be an active part of that process. You help that happen. You make it easy. Because if you have expectations and you're just always rejecting, your parents are going to be like, I don't even know how to engage you. You want an open access. You want them to be able to breathe into your life. Because we need it. You need it. God calls our response towards your parents in two very clear ways. It's not an intellectual issue. Very clear to understand. He says you need to honor them and you need to obey them. Those are powerful words. Honor is to be given and it's not to be earned. It's to be given. That is command of God. He didn't say if they're good, honor them. He says you honor them anyway. It is treating them with respect in your words, in your attitudes, in your actions, in their presence, and when you're far away from them. You honor them. And this sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, it may be you need to honor the position, even if they are doing things that aren't honorable. God says, you still honor that position as unto me, and you don't take their sin or failure as an excuse for you to sin and go into error. It's learning to live out the whole thought of as unto the Lord. And that's the way we should be at our work, with our wives and husbands, with our children. Every aspect of life is as unto the Lord. He's the one we're trying to please. So, lastly, it's a unique promise that if you do those things, he says it's the only commandment that has a promise of long life and depth of life. If you do that, you will get it. And I think that's because in honoring and obeying, you're actually taking on the practical wisdom that leads to life. So that's where I think that works together. So wisdom is currently being passed on, okay, from your parents. And I'm going to look at a couple of examples to see if you can see it, okay? These are things that, as I've talked to our staff and other people, you know, I've asked, hey, what did your parents say when you were growing up? Give me some of those common things that we all get, okay? So, number one, this one's from Lee. brush your teeth. Okay, duh, brush your teeth. How many do it? Oh gosh, you know, it's so hard. Well, Lee admitted, he said, I blew that off in high school. And he said, you know what, in my 20s, 30s now, he says, I found out that was an expensive mistake. He said, I've got to go back now and deal with a lot of junk that if I'd only listened to my parents, that practical wisdom that, you know, it actually is good to maintain and take care of my body. I can't abuse it and think it's okay. That's wisdom. Number two, go to bed on time. Get your sleep. Most parents are not pushing their kids to stay up to 1, 2, 3 in the morning. I think sometimes that's us in our perfectionistic mode or whatever, or maybe we've bit off too much and we have to reevaluate what we're doing. But the biblical mandate for rest is a huge deal. And I hope that this COVID time might even actually help you realize a life of balance, a life with peace in it, is really worth living. And that's what God is calling you to. So there's wisdom in go to bed. You need to do that. Three, clean up your room. Everybody gets that, okay? We're all naturally sloppy, except for a few. But what is that about? Well, in that practical wisdom, God is trying to help you learn self-responsibility. This is your room. Yeah, you can live in a pigsty, but you could also choose to say, I want order here. I'm not just going to be lazy. If my life is in order, it reflects the way your room looks like, your desk looks like, your locker looks like. And you want it to reflect the fact that you value order. And no, parents have said, life's not fair. That's serious wisdom right there. I would tell my kids that even at a young age. Because we all want fair. You know, that's not fair. It's not fair. And it's like, sometimes fairness is not possible. You know, how do you fairly divide up time with 9 kids? You know, you don't. You love them each individually as the Lord directs you, and you're going to give everything you can to everybody. But some ways it won't be fair. So if you live for fairness, you will always be disappointed. And that's where God says, no, I need to be able to let things happen, to give up my expectations and enjoy every good thing God gives me. Life is not fair. I have to yield my rights and expectations to God, or I will become bitter. Many of your parents are saying you need to follow Jesus. That's why they sent you to Awana's. That's why they want you going to youth ministry. And that's awesome. You know, they're trying to bring you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They're trying to help you go, this is the way we're on, and I want you to follow after it. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in this process now of you owning your faith, yeah, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to go after it or not? This is something I said to my kids, and this one's hard, but it's true. It's wisdom. I would say to my kids, because some of our rules were very different than other parents, I would say others may... You cannot. Others may do that, but you can't. It'd be the things that they really wanted, but we just discerned this is not something we're going to do. And it is really hard when every, you know, like even other Christian kids are doing it. It's like, God didn't call me to raise those kids. He called me to raise you. So you're going to really need to trust God that we're not that stupid. And the crazy cool thing is when my son, David, got married, at the dinner the night before, his wife said, thank you so much for giving him that guideline of not dating before, you know, while he was in high school. And I was like, that has made a major difference in our relationship. And that was sweet. But that's wisdom. Number 7, choose friends wisely. That is real wisdom because God says you will become like your friends. And most people don't pick their friends. Most people have their friends pick them. And I would challenge you to ask God, who should be your friends? Choose those who are calling on God out of a pure heart and follow him with them. They're the only ones who will go there with you. But choose them well. For some parents, some dads, some moms, they've had to say to their daughters, you're not going to wear that out that door. That's not appropriate. And that's a hard thing to hear. And the reality is fashion is always pushing the buttons, pushing the limits. And as they just want to look like what everybody else is doing, sometimes it's that practical wisdom to say, you know what, modesty is holiness applied. And I know you may not see it, but we see what's going on here, and we feel like that's highlighting your body really more than your countenance, which is what God wants people to see, is the joy of the Lord in you know, radiating from your face, you know, not really focusing on any other part of you, because that's not who you are. That's not a way to motivate or gain attention. But our culture pushes us to go against that. And then I have one more. If you've heard your parents say, "Don't talk to me that way," that's wisdom. They're basically saying, you know that thing about honor? It matters. It's what God wants. It's what I need. Because if you feel the freedom to cuss me out or talk that way to me, it means you think of me so small that you're rejecting me. And I want to throw something out to you that parenting is not a right. It's actually a privilege. That I have seen children lose the right to have their parents parent them because they won't let them. You know, and if you're saying, "I'm going to go where I want and I do what I want, feed me, clothe me, house me, but I'm my own independent person," that's not a family. God says, that's why in a family you submit, you honor, you obey, and you watch what you say to your parents. That's how you learn respect. So there are some others that we're not going to really unpack, but I know Aaron Osborne said his parents would sometimes say, "I don't have a good feeling about that person." And he'd be like, "Well, whatever, you know, you don't know him." And then later he'd find out, wow, I think maybe they were right, you know. Chris said, you know, she'd always get, and I think a lot of us say this, make wise choices. And she said, you know, I knew that was true, but she said, during some rough parts of my life, I realized I wasn't making wise choices. Then Lee said, his parents would say, "Hey, you're not going to go to anybody's house unless there's a parent there." And it's like, yeah, right, whatever. And he said he learned when there were times when there weren't parents there that's when they really did do stupid things. And the last one is, and this is true, we would remind our parents, like, yeah, we realize we don't know everything and we won't find out about everything, but we ask God to help you be caught or let us know about the things we need to. And amazingly enough, it happened. And it's because we're praying and God cares. And so there's some wisdom that I hope that you realize you may have thought were just suggestions or just what your parents say, but actually there's wisdom, and I hope it encourages you to listen more. So in closing, God has given you your parents, and God wants you to gain wisdom through your parents. Do you not choose to be the fool? Do you not choose to be unteachable, reject input, "You're so smart," realize you really aren't? Fight for your family. It's under attack. You need to support your parents and encourage them. It's hard to be parents today, honestly. Pray for your parents. They need it. They would want it. Seek to understand their world. You all have no idea. I know my grown children have come back and said, "I think we get it," you know, but you can't until you're there. And then here's a practical assignment. So parents, if you're listening, ask your parents about the practical counsel their parents gave them and things that stood out and what they learned. So in closing, John 1, 3 John 1:4, I actually mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but I'll mention it again. If you really want to bless your parents, listen to this. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." If you want to bless your parents, hear that wisdom, live it out, and let them see the fruit of your wisdom in your life. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to all our hearts, that you have given us parents, and though they are not perfect, though they have weaknesses, that God, you will use all things to help us grow and become wise. I pray that you give grace to these students listening today and just help them, Lord, to do that, especially when it's hard. But I pray, Lord, that you'll help them even now begin to see the fruit of listening and obeying. And I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.